When one talk about Dusko Gojkovic, is talking of practically 50 professional years of career. When one is young and begins in the music, has some expectations. Having completed your expectations?
Oh, you know, when you're young and you start playing, then you have just fun and you enjoy playing jazz. And with the years, you know, you become better, you practice, you learn more. Then start playing with the bands, which is fun and very interesting. And it takes some years, you know, to become a really good professional musician, to play in on a radio band or a big band or a small group. So you don't think about expectation too much when you're young. You just want to play with good bands, you want to play with good musician, go to the jazz club and have fun.
The curriculum speak about the most important points of a musician's career. Of what do not they speak is of the hard daily work during many years. Which have been the greater difficulties that you have found in all these years?
Concerning instrument, you know, when I was in the school, I played a little bit guitar, a little bit piano as an amateur, you know. Then I got a trumpet. I fall in love with trumpet, you know. Then I start playing trumpet when I was 15, 16 years, which is a little late, you know. And from then on, I played trumpet all the time. And you start practicing. I went to school, you know, have a normal school, a classical training for several years. Then the town where you live, it becomes actually too small for you if there is not many musicians. There was a chance to play in Belgrade, where I grew up, you know. We had musicians, played some student bands. But then one day I had a chance to go out and I went to Frankfurt, went to Germany, and really got into a group of very, you know, dangerous musicians who were professionals, very well-known musicians. And I was very happy to have a chance to play with them. So I stayed several years in Frankfurt and played with the famous people. At that time, there was end of 50s, you know, beginning of 60s. Jazz at Philharmonic was on the road. They come to Europe very often, you know, a few times a year. And after their concert, most of them, they come down to the jazz club and play jam session with us. So that was a fantastic opportunity to see Dizzy Gillespie and Elvin Jones and, you know, Dexter Gordon, Roy Eldridge and all these people, to play with them and to see how they play. And then also talk to them and they show you this and that, you know. So there was a great time to learn that. And that becomes, then you realize you have a lot to learn, you know. And I had my own system, I think every musician have that or should have, practice in the daytime. I took several hours a day to practice trumpet just for myself, you know, not with a band. Practice the horn. And then have a chance to rehearse with a band, and at night you go to the club and play. So it takes several years, you know, to become better and better and better, which takes a lot of hard work, actually.
Your career is marked by the big bands. What is what attracts you of the big bands?
Well, you know, I started with a big band when I was young, and somebody from trumpet section had to go to leave, and they asked me to start with the fourth trumpet, you know, and slowly come in the band. I love big band because I like the sound, you know, when you have orchestra and this voicing and harmony. You know, when ensemble plays together, it's a real excitement. But at the same time, I played with the small groups and combos and improvisation at the same time. So I love big bands, but most of the time I play with the small groups, you know. Then later, when I went to America, I went to Berklee College, I studied arranging and composing. And also I had a chance after the studies to join some American bands, you know, play with Maynard Ferguson Big Band and Woody Herman Big Band, Jerry Mulligan Concert Orchestra, Ted Jones, Clark Bolan Band was in Europe after I came back. So this is, I'm getting a little bit ahead, but it takes years, you know, to arrive there when you have your own style, your sound, and experience and routine to play in the section.
Minor Ferguson, Big Band, Kenny Clarke, Fancy Bolan, Buddy Herman, you have played in some of the most important big bands. I imagine that each of those big bands had their own personality.
Yeah, actually, you know, Carlos, in every band should have its face, you know, what they say, its own sound, its own style of playing. And all the famous bands, the bands that are really recognizable, you can immediately say, this band is Duke Ellington, this is Basie, this is Dizzy Gillespie Big Band, because it has special arrangements and special sound. You know, if the band is like professional American bands, people stay in the band for years, and they just practice and have new arrangements and go on the road almost every day, travel all over the country, and after you play for several years in the same band, the band becomes so tight, so precise, and that's what makes it fun to play with the band.
Do you think that today exist bands that are going to make history like some of the orchestras that we have mentioned?
I cannot say that, you know, you never know what's going to happen. The bands that we know about in Europe, we heard about these famous bands in America mostly, who have been existing for many years, and we have all the records and we saw them so many times, so that's why we know the names. But there are, I think, thousands of other bands that we never heard of. If they don't go on a tour in the world, if they don't make records, they could be fantastic, but nobody knows about that except the little town where they play, you know. It's the same thing with musicians. We know musicians that we know records of and who come here on a tour, you know. You have big publicity, you know, big names, huh? But there are some musicians that never go on the road or stay home, and they don't want to leave the family or whatever. And they might be a genius, fantastic, but nobody knows about it. You know.
Can we say that Dusko Gojković is an European with American style, aesthetic?
Yeah, I think so. You know, when I listened to my recordings, and I find out myself that my years in the States helped me a lot. And actually, when I came from Europe, I was playing trumpet already, you know, also with the famous bands, with Kurt Edelhagen Band in Cologne, with Clark Bolan and other bands, and I thought I can play pretty good. Then I joined this, as I say, dangerous bands. And the way Americans play the horns, the styling, the phrasing, it's different, you know, it's a definite language. That dialect that you speak when you play jazz. And it took me some time to change my breathing, my phrasing, my thinking. And actually, it took maybe a year. They turned my head around 180 degrees. You know? Then I really start realizing that they play different than we do. Now, in the meantime, after all these years, they were coming here, and a lot of European bands and musicians play excellent. Play the same style. I wouldn't say Americans are always better than Europeans. Even American musicians themselves know that nowadays in Europe, since many years, you have very good bands and very good musicians. There is no different, doesn't matter nationality or color or whatever. I mean, it counts only how you sound, how you play.
You believe that the jazz in Europe has its own peculiarities?
I think in the last 10-15 years, at least, I realized that in Europe, people are getting, I mean musicians and the bands, so good, and they know that it's important to be original, to have own style, all own compositions, and it became almost from my experience, if I may speak about myself, you know, is that when I started writing and composing in Europe, in America, and all American musicians, they say, you should be original. Don't copy me. Don't copy me. You try to sound yourself. When you write, compose what you have inside of you. So I remember of my, where I come from, my ethnic, you know, and national originals. So I say, okay, I come from Balkans, right? So there's a lot of music in Balkan. In Europe, you have a lot of countries that have fantastic folk music, like Spain, Italy, you know, in Balkans, in France. So these musicians should use their own, you know, original material. And that's what I started doing. I mean, I play mainstream jazz, I'm a bebopper, and I wrote a lot of things that are in that style, you know, and ballads and blues and bebop and all. But in the last over 20 years now, I was also specializing in so-called Balkan jazz. Now they even call it, you know, there's a new style, they call it Balkan jazz, you know, which belongs to European jazz, you know. So we have something, thanks God, that in Europe we created something, and it's not only copy, you know, it helped a lot to learn from America, the routine, handwriting and all that, but then to have original material. And I think lately a lot of people are going in that direction.
You were a student in Berkeley. I imagine that you know the polemics about this school, about the cloning of the students. Kenny Warner, the piano player, said that it's because it can be taught how to play, but not why.
Yes.
What do you think?
Well, he is right. When I was there, there was 61, you know. This is more than 40 years ago. And the school was not so big. There were a few hundred students. After that, there were thousands, you know. After I left, 10, 15 years ago, the musicians from school come back, and they say there are 3, 4, 5 thousand, I don't know how many thousand, all guitars and electro instruments. They go by the time. At that moment, it's maybe fusion or rock or pop, very popular. So in a school, they teach also that. And it's true that you can learn routine, writing, composing, theory, and all that in the school. They can show you very good things. I learned really everything I know. But then you try to do your own writing. That's what he means. You have to have a personality, your own character, your own personality in music. Then you're becoming original.
But how to get your own voice in jazz when exist so many idols that one wants to be seen?
Yeah, you know, as my teacher told me, Herb Pomeroy, when you're young and you're learning, you copy everybody. You learn from everybody. You listen to solos and the recordings of best musicians in the world, and you try to get in that direction, you know, to achieve, to get close as much as possible to this, what you hear from the best masters, you know. But as you say, after that is your own thing, you know. As some famous man said, 95% is work, 5% is genius or talent, you know, but the rest of it is hard work to develop this talent.
Jazz history is evolution history. Do you think that jazz continue evolving today?
Yes, I think so. I think jazz never stops. It never dies. It's a lot of people say, oh, jazz is dead. You know, it's never really. It just has its own changes. And under the pressure of market and the system, like when you have popular music, a mass music, that teenagers, young people like that, you know, they hear the hard rock and things like that, they go for that. And if they don't hear on the radio on jazz or in the programs, they have no comparison. They only know this because all day in the radio you have only that kind of music. And would be nice as some people would have jazz programs. Now, lately I hear in a lot of countries they have radios with 24 hours a day jazz. So when a young man listens, musicians, he can choose. He said, I liked this, I don't like this. But you can choose, you know. You can decide what you like on your own preference. And I think if they have a chance to hear good jazz, then a lot of people who first time hear the good jazz band said, oh, this is jazz. Oh, I like that. I thought jazz was something that he once heard, maybe free jazz or something that is not jazz, you know.
And your opinion about the free jazz? You have said free jazz. What's your opinion about the free jazz?
Well, it's a very personal opinion, you know. When I was in school, we tried everything. And in a class with me, there was Sam Rivers and Tony Williams and Mike Gibbs and all these guys, and Gary Burton. We experiment with everything, and I played for a while also that, you know, to train, to see what it is. After a while, I decide, this is not my way. I don't feel that way. So I say, I should play what I feel, what I think is good. I don't want to play something I don't believe in. So practically, I don't agree with that kind of music, me personally, because I like melody, I like rhythm, and I'm little, say like in the Middle Ages they have romantics, you know, like Debussy and I don't know, guys like that, you know, in jazz, like Miles used to play melody, improvise, have a good sound, you know. So my personal opinion, I prefer to stay with that, what I can play and what I like to play.
What movements, what names of present jazz are you interested?
Yeah, you know, musicians is hard. We don't put titles on the styles. We actually don't like that. You know that. They say in America, you have music either good or bad, you know. So how do you call it? Doesn't matter. But my way of playing is I just said. I like ballads, blues, you know, bebop, which is melody, rhythm, and improvisation. You know, that's what I like.
And actual players?
Well, as I mentioned, there's so many good players, you know, that I like. I like Dizzy, I like Miles, I like, I started with Roy Eldridge when I was young. I heard Roy Eldridge, you know. And Kenny Dorham, and not only trumpet players, you know. I mean, all this mainstream, like beboppers and traditional jazz, but I don't mean Dixieland, which is, oh, okay, you know, good Dixieland is good. But my style is like, I would say, music that was played when I grew up, and there was like 55, 60, 65, 70, and so on, you know.
You record some years ago with Tete Montoliu. Do you know something more about the Spanish jazz apart from Tete?
Actually not. Unfortunately not. We had a chance to play with Tete. He played in my quintet, and we recorded several records in Barcelona on Ensayo, I think. Right? Yeah. And I brought the group from Germany, and Tete joined us here. And after that, we played many times together. I think Tete was a genius. He was a fantastic player. In the class of Oscar Peterson, you know. So I would put him on a top class on any world list, you know. But everybody knows that.
Tell me about the characteristics of your last CD, Samba do Mar.
I spoke to my producer from Angel Records, you know, for a while, and I asked him, I would like to do a Latin, you know, a Brazilian or that kind of music. I like that. I never did it before. So finally he gave me a chance to record. And end of last year, was September, October, I think, in Holland, in the studio, we recorded this quartet with the Brazilian music, some Jörg Jobim, some of the Sergio Mihanovic that I never heard of before, you know, and who's very famous in South America. So we picked up some of his tunes, and one is Villa Lobos, you know. And I have a I had a guitar player who is from Hungary, from Budapest. He's a Hungarian gypsy, and he plays excellent guitar, especially like what they call classical Spanish guitar, you know. And he's a really master. So we did this recording, and there was a Swiss bass player and an American percussionist who was specializing in this kind of percussion, you know. That's how it came through.
Finally, the next project of Dusko Lojkovic.
Next project? Oh, God. Next week I go to Switzerland and play with the group that they want me to record with them, a CD, to play maybe several tunes, not the whole CD. And then I go to Japan in September. Yeah, it's like 8 years they call me back. I don't know why they call me back. But for 8 years I've been going now to Japan. In September I go back to Tokyo.